Hello and welcome to We the People. On the program today, we look at the debate surrounding clinical trials and where the industry stands in India. We've just had the announcement of India launching an ambitious program to look for an HIV vaccine. It's quite clear that for medical research and for saving lives, clinical trials are essential. But on the other hand, you've had one controversy after the other, with the Supreme Court now taking cognizance of these complaints and using that oft-used phrase when it comes to clinical trials, talking about human beings being used as guinea pigs. At the heart of the debate is how informed the consent is of those who undergo trials. On the other hand, there are many doctors and researchers who are concerned that in India, in fact, controversy has needlessly slowed down the pace of clinical research. Let me start by somebody who represents, in a sense, neither health activism nor the pharma industry. Sujata Rao, as somebody who has served as health secretary, what was your assessment on how much transparency there is around trials?
Well, if you are starting the debate with my experience, I would like to state that there's no doubt that our regulatory frameworks are very weak. The ministry, which I include the Drug Controller Authority also, who is the approving authority for clinical trials, not at all competent intellectually or technically to be able to handle this very, very highly complex and sensitive issue.
That's a very serious thing to say. That is a serious thing. Not competent to handle this.
This was very beautifully reflected by the Standing Committee. And I really would like to applaud their report because they really brought out this very important fact that, you know, right now the CDSO, the drug authority, is working with one third of the sanctioned posts. Mm. So there are no people. The regulatory framework is weak. It's ineffective. And on the other hand, even the few regulations that we have, the enforcement is very difficult.
Give me an example of something in the framework that is weak and is open to either misuse or no succor being provided, you know, to those who are exploited.
You don't have to look for examples. The point is that they don't know where the clinical trials are going on. We don't have, if you can imagine, if you read the Standing Committee report, we have paid 22 people, only have been paid compensation, for example.
And 50 lakhs was given to them, shared by 10 pharma companies.
And look at that compensation. It's ridiculous the amount being paid is an average of 1 to 1.5 lakhs for a death due to clinical trial. So that's a kind of inadequacies in our entire regulatory framework. And I do believe that the most important thing is to come up with an independent federal drug authority, properly stocked with appropriately skilled and technically people having the technical expertise. And that's where I focused, because if you know, the regulation, whatever is being done today, is as per the Drugs and Cosmetics Act, which was 1940. Amended the rules made in 1945, amended in 2005. So today there is a bill on the table saying that there has to be a drug regulatory authority and regulations both for clinical trials and medical devices.
Let me take this to Dr. Suresh Menon of Novartis. Dr. Menon, more than 2,000 people have died in the last 4 years in clinical trials. We all know that in a sense, when we go to a doctor, in a sense, we're surrendering our faith there, and anything can happen in medicine. So I don't use this to create alarm. But the fact is that when there are question marks in our country over whether people even understand what the doctor is saying to them, how informed the consent can be, would you agree that the regulatory framework is far too weak?
Well, to begin with, I represent OPPI.
Yeah.
And the Indian Society for Clinical Research.
Okay.
Now, when you look at the figures that you just, mentioned, 2,000 odd deaths, what is important to understand is that, in clinical trials, those deaths which are caused due to the study drug are those which are expected to be compensated.
Yeah.
Now, this is a norm across the world. If you look at the regulations as they exist in India today, it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
When the drugs controller gives you a permission, he expects you to report all serious, unexpected, adverse reactions. But if you look at the mother document, which is Schedule Y, that expects you to report all serious, unexpected, adverse events.
You're saying, when you say that X person has died in a clinical trial, you should be able to prove a causality between the trial and the casualty, and that person may have died due to other causes, including his or her own ailment.
See, in simple terms, what it means is, if you are doing a trial in oncology or in cancer,
yes,
the natural disease progression is going to take away life. That's a given. Then obviously this patient doesn't require compensation.
Right.
Now, if you just allow me to turn that around, see what's happening, the confusion is, you see in the press 2,000 odd deaths, which has been reported over the last 2 to 3 years. Now, these deaths are not causally related.
I've got what you're saying.
Abroad, what happens is that the number of deaths that get reported are the ones where compensation
so you're
is
saying
really
the
required.
Causal link is not necessarily established in this statistic.
Absolutely.
Anand Grover, can I take that to you? Here you have two completely different perceptions of the same phenomenon. One that says stricter laws. The other that says that the law actually is not specific enough to establish which deaths occur because of the trial and which deaths occur because of natural progression of an ailment. Isn't that a legitimate argument?
Well, it is not legitimate because I think there's deliberate obfuscation by the industry. Any serious adverse event has to be reported. Causality has to be established later by independent reviewers. But first, the report must come.
May I ask you again a layperson's question just to understand this? Isn't there an element of risk involved
therefore,
in any relationship between a seriously ill person and a doctor in a clinical trial more so?
There are. First of all, please appreciate for consent, causality, there is no regulatory framework today. The only regulatory framework today is to have an approval of certain number of people in certain institutions to conduct trials, which is very weak. So what the Parliamentary Standing Committee has said is that there is mandatory trial required to be done. Companies which my learned friend represents, OPPI, they have not conducted trials. Where they're supposed to do it in four sites, they do it in two sites. Despite that, which is a criminal conduct, they get away with it. Because the Drug Controlling Authority doesn't look into it. This is a standing committee report. I'm not saying it.
Okay.
Today, not only in India, but abroad, companies have been found to be criminally conducting their business. They prefer to pay fines than report. So that is a standard all over the world. It's not a happy standard, and we are worse than that today.
Can I just take this? I'll come back to you because we also have Kiran Mazumdar joining us. You want to make one point?
This is the basic confusion. Because what he talked about is the Parliamentary Standing Committee report, which has no mention to clinical trials. It talks about clinical trials when required before getting a new drug approved for marketing.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with clinical research at all. So that's that itself is the confusion.
It has mentioned the
second piece is, as I said, abroad, what you need to actually report is only those deaths or serious adverse events which have been causally suspected to be because...
But how do you establish that? That's the question. Kiran Shaw, would you like to take that on? You have the argument here by some who see the pharma company as the heartless money spinner, not bothered about poor people who are being exploited. And you have the other end of the argument, which is saying, for God's sake, let medical research proceed. As somebody who's a key player in this sector, ma'am, how do you weigh in on the debate?
You know, Barkha, I want to make a categorical statement that I think the whole process of clinical trials has a good set of regulations, global regulations as a matter of fact, where there are enough checks and balances to make sure that you do not, unduly take advantage or do things in a wrong way. Before you start even conducting clinical trials in human beings, there is a set of preclinical trials that you have to conduct at an animal level. Then you get into a phase one trial on a limited number of patients to actually establish safety. Then you do a phase two trial on a slightly larger population base to establish efficacy. And only when both safety and efficacy are established are you allowed to do a phase three clinical trial. Before you can even start a clinical trial, there is a review by a set of experts that look at the safety data that you have generated.
Okay.
And then they look at your protocol to even make sure that you can start a trial. Then you go to an ethics committee. The ethics committee then looks at your protocol and your trial and then allows you to actually start the trial.
You're saying there are enough checks and balances. I'll allow you, Sujata, to come in there because you don't think there are enough checks and balances.
No, what I'm saying is the procedure as laid down is there. I mean, but the issue is in the implementation of it.
Even
legally, the ethics committee, the composition of the ethics committee, the compensation packages that we don't have any laws that make all those mandatory.
I'll just come to you.
And the responsibilities of the ethics committee. See, there are two actors in this whole game.
Yeah.
One is the approving authority, which is the DCGI. And the other is the ethics committee. The role of the ethics committee is very, very critical to save protect the interests of the patient.
Okay.
I'll take that
to Kiran Shah. Kiran, go ahead.
You know, as far as companies who are conducting clinical trials are concerned, they have to conform to a set of regulations that are global standards. Let us not please paint all serious adverse events with one brush. Because there are drug-related adverse events, there are non-drug-related adverse events, because today it is getting confused. I really believe that most people are conducting trials with the right set of regulations. Well, like in every industry, there might be a few that are deviating from the norm, and you need to have the regulatory action against such trials.
So here's my question. Is the problem
but
in what exists
not
on paper?
The baby away with the bathwater.
All right. So don't tar everybody with the same brush. Meera Shiva, is that a reasonable argument? Because there is the HIV vaccine, for example, just unveiled by the former president, Dr. Kalam. Are you saying we should not this kind of research?
I'm a public health person. This thing is that assumption that all drugs are great, assumption that all clinical trials are great. This assumption, one question. The medicines which are needed for public health by our people and those required for marketing in the West, they are two different. So the question is, what clinical trials? The tropical countries, their main problems, those are totally neglected. You do not see any clinical trials going on.
That you are taking drugs anywhere. Today?
So the thing is, in this, what Sujata ji just mentioned about the, you know, the CDSCO report. The report says, to meet the aspirations and demands and requirements of the pharmaceutical industry. Excuse me, it has to do with public health. So if you do not have the health angle, that these clinical trials are for what? Is it for marketing linked with intellectual property rights to be selling?
Are you saying we don't need these vaccines? Are you saying we should not go for an HPV vaccine? We should not go to the next level of medicine because we should first solve malaria?
Not at all. You need rational drug policy, you need rational policy, and you need rational clinical trials. And the WHO guidelines are very clearly there.
Okay, Dr. Menon's wanted to come in.
I'll just add and support what Dr. Meera Shiva is saying.
You support it? I don't think you would.
Simple reason that,
rationality you have to support. Nobody will want unethical trials.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
If you look back over the last 30, 40 years, there has been no single drug which has been discovered for India-centric diseases. This is because we still look towards the West to provide us with solutions and options.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they do not have that disease burden.
Okay.
And that is precisely why we need to encourage clinical research, because this sets a tone and tenor for the future.
So you're saying that don't hear the word clinical trials and say it's a bad word.
No,
absolutely.
Anand, you're not saying that. But to Kiran Shah's argument, that actually the phases are very stringent.
These are guidelines generally universally.
Yeah.
If I'm a company starting a clinical trial, it's up to me to set up a board. Yeah. I can pick anybody I want. I have a person with conflict of interest. Please, let's go by evidence.
Yeah.
The standing committee found that 5 independent experts, so-called, gave identical letters with mistakes, saying this is a good drug. This is the state of affairs in India.
So you're saying the appointment of the ethics committee...
Yeah, so that area is uncovered by regulation.
Okay.
That is uncovered. Second is there is complicity, criminal complicity in getting drugs into the market without conducting even the mandatory requirements today.
Yeah. Is this a contradiction? Because a lot of the standing committee actually focuses on the problem of not conducting enough trials as opposed to conducting trials.
They say
drugs have been brought into the market without requisite tests.
They haven't finished the report, huh?
Anjali Nair, on the point of ethics committees, you know, how there are conflicts of interest, how there are connected interests, vested interests between those who want to push a certain drug and those who are reviewing them. That's a serious criticism here.
It is, you know, but one of the things I do want to say, if you get onto the website, you see a law related to Drugs and Cosmetics Act. Under that, the Central Drug Standard Control Organization has laid out very clearly defined guidelines on how clinical trials should be conducted. The other point is that each institution has an institutional review board. It has a data safety monitoring board. It has independent ethics committees. And I agree. I mean, today, our clinical trial participants are the unsung heroes of medical research, and therefore they have to be protected. But to Kiran's point, there are a lot of trials that are done well. And we don't hear about them, you know, and I'm glad that we don't hear about them and that we do hear about the ones that are not done okay, so that we can do that. The second point I want to bring is that this country conducted two phase one HIV vaccine trials. Then Merck did a trial in Africa and found that the entire platform on which that research was based was not going to work. So no clinical trials were conducted henceforth. Yeah. And now the HIV vaccine research that you talk is a lab-based research. So there are some people in the government and outside who are taking view
so you're
of
saying,
this
and you're making those changes. Don't be alarmist. Yes. In a way, you're saying don't be
Absolutely.
Alarmist.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dr. Malad, as a doctor who actually works in a hospital, one of the things that happens is a lot of the pharma companies say that, look, in the end, it's up to the doctor how a trial is conducted, whether the transparency happens, whether the consent of the patient is taken. Do you see that as legitimate, or do you see this as passing the buck entirely to the doctors?
No, it's not passing the buck. The principal investigator and his team is supposed to be responsible. After all, the patient is his or hers.
So where do you see the gaps?
So the gap is that there are a few individuals, there are a few organizations. There may be in different,
So you're saying there are a few bad apples, nothing wrong with the law?
The law is fine. The regulation, the guidelines are fine. It is the enforcement of those which is the problem.
Anand, do you accept this? The enforcement is the problem, not the regulation per se.
I think regulations in certain areas are inadequate. They're all guidelines. If you don't
they
follow
are guidelines.
Them,
that is
they're not laws. First thing,
they're
laws
which are enforceable. One. Secondly, enforcement is woefully lacking today. And there is criminal conspiracy, and that's what the Standing Committee says. And these are not bad apples. Unfortunately, they are leading companies in the world.
We'll
it's a problem.
We'll take that back to our panel, but let's just hear from Ajay Nayak and Pooja Nayak from Indore. Their two-day-old child was part of a trial. And Ajay ji, aap bataye ki aapka 2 din ka bacha tha aur uspe trial kiya gaya. Phase 4 ka trial tha. I should say it was a phase 4 trial. Lekin aapko samajh nahi aayi ki ye trial ho raha hai. क्या हुआ और कैसे पता लगा आपको
मैडम सबसे पहले तो ट्रायल के बारे में अगर बता दिया जाता तो मैं कभी करवाता ही नहीं
अगर आपको बताया जाता तो आप कभी नहीं करवाते
कौन मां-बाप रिस्क लेगा अपने बच्चे के लिए
आप कह रहे हैं कौन रिस्क लेगा लेकिन कई बार लेना पड़ता है ना रिस्क
नहीं जब नॉर्मल डिलीवरी वगैरह हुई है तो क्यों अपने बच्चे के रिस्क लेगा कोई
तो बच्चे को क्या हुआ बच्चा आप ठीक है कि क्या
ठीक है अभी बच्चा तो ठीक है
थोड़ा रिएक्शन हुआ पैचेस हो गए स्किन पर
पूरी बॉडी पे व्हाइट स्पॉट हो गए थे मतलब ऐसी स्थिति थी कि कोई उसको गोदी में भी नहीं उठाता था मतलब सब देखते थे बोलते थे कि गोदी में भी किसे उठा इस बच्चे को
यू नो अब आप कोर्ट में अब आपने कोर्ट में केस फाइल किया है
जी
और आप पूजा जी फॉर्म आपने साइन किया क्योंकि फॉर्म साइन हुआ था हिम्मत रखिए फॉर्म साइन हुआ था वो लोग कहते हैं कि हिंदी में फॉर्म था अंग्रेजी में नहीं तो आपने वो फॉर्म क्या समझ के साइन किया पूजा जी
जब नॉर्मल डिलीवरी हुई थी मेरी तो जैसे कि इनने बताया कि ये नई बीमारियों के टीके निकले तो उस टाइम स्थिति थोड़ी ऐसी थी तो मैंने टीके अच्छा अपना बच्चे के लिए कोई नई बीमारी के लिए टीके निकाले तो कुछ गलत तो है नहीं क्योंकि सरकारी अस्पताल में डिलीवरी करी तो डॉक्टर पे तो भरोसा करना ही पड़ेगा तो मैंने उसको साइन कर दिया ना ही उन्होंने मुझे पढ़ के बताया वो और वो इंग्लिश में पेपर तो मुझे इंग्लिश पढ़ना नहीं आती है अगर वो मुझे बताते तो मैं भी ट्रायल नहीं करती अपने 2 दिन के बच्चे पे
अभी बच्चा कैसा
अभी तो ठीक है उसका हमने आयुर्वेदिक इलाज करवाया है
अब आप कोर्ट में केस लड़ रहे हैं
मतलब कुछ लोग हैं जो मदद कर रहे हैं जैसे डॉक्टर आनंद राय जी बैठे हुए जिनसे के साथ में मतलब उन्होंने हम लोगों की मदद करते हुए बताया कि किस तरीके से ट्रायल हुआ है और हम लोगों ने केस फाइल किया अब देखते क्या होता है वैसे तो सहयोगितागंज थाना है इंदौर के अंदर मैंने वहां पे कंप्लेंट डाली लेकिन आज तक उन्होंने मेरी एफआईआर दर्ज ही नहीं करी जबकि ईओडब्ल्यू में सब दूर उनकी जांच हो रही है दोषी पाया गया है थाने से मेरे को लिख के दे दिया कि आप एमजीएम मेडिकल कॉलेज में जाके आपका चेक मतलब ट्रायल के लिए जांच करवाइए मतलब जिन्होंने ट्रायल किया उनके पास ही भेज दिया कि इनकी देखिए कि इनके ऊपर ट्रायल हुआ कि नहीं
कितने महीने हो गए आपको लड़ते हुए
2.5 साल का हो गया बच्चा 2 दिन से
तो 2.5 साल से आप बस लड़ ही रहे हैं
कोई सुनता ही नहीं
Yes. Now this is a problem. Here's the thing.
Barkha, even, may I come in?
Yes, yes, Kiran. Yes, I'll take this to Kiran. And Kiran, if I can just add a question of mine, and that is that even when I, as an educated person, I go to a doctor, I'm ill, I tend to believe my doctor blindly. The problem with what we've heard just now goes down to the blind faith that many of us place in our doctors. Now this man discovers that his child was part of a phase 4 trial. What would you like to say, Kiran?
You know, Barkha, let me just comment by saying that it's very easy to have an anecdotal report on one thing that went wrong. What about asking patients who have been through clinical trials, who have benefited hugely from these trials? I have hundreds of patients who will sing praises for such clinical trials. Why are you only focusing on these kind of issues? I would say, by and large, the investigator community, the doctors who enroll in trials, are doing it with the best intention.
Actually, we are not telling just
you know,
one.
That is such an unethical.
Of course,
way
of course, of
things.
Course. But you've spoken not, about what about all those people? Ma'am, give me a chance. You've spoken about all those people who benefited from the trial. Let's bring you one such story. To my left is Archana Sharma. Archana Sharma is a teacher and was undergoing treatment for multiple sclerosis.
That's right.
And Archana, you were warned that this is something that could relapse,
yes.
And you decided to undergo a clinical
yes.
trial with
right.
informed consent, with
Absolutely.
Your eyes open, and today you're extremely grateful.
Absolutely.
Share your experience.
I have seen my mother suffer with the same thing for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for this.
No, sure, go ahead.
But I wish there were some clinical trials back then. When my doctor told me that I'm also the patient of multiple sclerosis, I was like taken aback. I didn't know. It was a dread for me. Well, I undertook the initial medication, and then I didn't know what to do. I went all over the net. My sister settled in US. I told her to search about it. And after about a year, I did decide that, fine, you know, if I am doomed, why should I be so selfish and not give myself a clinical trial? Hmm. Because if a drug is developed,
yeah.
and it is tested positively, and it could help so many other people. Okay. So why should I not let myself, you know, thinking that, oh, what about the side effects? Oh, what if, you know, something wrong happens? Something wrong is anyways bound to happen to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
so,
you're already ill.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm already ill. And my doctor and all his team, they were all very, very helping, actually. I was given the whole performa to look through, the guidelines, the rules.
And it was explained properly to you?
Absolutely. In fact, we had many sittings before I actually signed it. My husband was there, I was there, we both read it, we took our time, and we signed it, and I've been in it for 4 years now. Okay. And I'm so thankful. I'm yeah. really thankful that I could actually present myself for it, because, you know...
And you watched your mother suffer, and you wish they were
yes,
around then.
Actually, I wish, you know, 20 years back, somebody had said, I remember back then, I was probably a school student, back then, and you know, somebody said, oh, you know, your mom has multiple sclerosis. And we were like, what is that supposed to be? And I wish somebody had come up with some miracle drug then.
Yeah. So this is in a sense, both of these cases are true for themselves. This is not an either-or debate. We're not sitting here to damn clinical trials. But if there are gaps, let's plug those gaps. Suresh Menon.
I think yeah. this is the scene that you see, especially in cases where it's an unmet medical need.
Yeah.
Oncology, multiple sclerosis, cystic fibrosis, you
yeah.
get emails from abroad wanting to participate in trials.
Yeah.
We wouldn't actually want a case like this. And you opened up the debate by talking about the informed consent process.
Yes.
What is actually required is an India-centric approach. And what we suggested as OPPI and member organizations, because as long as clinical research is going to go on, it's going to be one word against the other. For example, the patient would always turn around and say that he consented
yeah.
without being aware.
And the hospital or the doctor will always say the consent yeah, was taken.
What we have suggested to successive drugs controllers is to film the informed consent process.
That's a good idea.
Especially in
to
India.
Film the consent, yeah.
Especially in India. Now, yeah. obviously, this is like, you know, you need to look at the confidentiality, you look at the other pieces put together. Otherwise, this debate is never going to end.
So we have a productive suggestion here. Film the consent. Anand, and then I'll come
no,
to
no,
Dr. Anand's
right. I tell you, I think we should be very clear. I think you're right. We have to plug the...
The gaps. We're not sitting here sitting that the
framework.
Clinical research and, is the villain of the
Anjali
piece, of course
and I,
not.
Actually,
no,
Anjali
it can't
and
be.
I,
it can't be, yeah.
It can't
no,
be,
There's
yes.
a good example. Anjali and I worked in Pune with the National AIDS Research Organization. It's, you know, this debate about consent not having been taken, even with filming it will go on. So what we devised a system which not only allows other community members to be part of the empowering
process, the conversation,
but that suppose there is a problem, there is a guaranteed remedy in terms of medical treatment. Plus, we don't have to resort to courts. A person should be able to get compensation so that the person can survive. The point is, there are people who are cutting corners because that costs money. Clinical trials is an expensive process.
So there isn't an innate enmity here between those asking for better regulatory frameworks. We are not sitting here in judgment.
One more.
And then I'll come to you, Kiran. Give me a second.
I think anybody who's doing clinical trials, it should be on the website, the protocols, without disclosing the names. So it's transparent. Today we don't know what's happening.
Okay, Anand Rai, aap court mein gaye. आपके आरटीआई के वजह से ही ये जो इंदौर का केस है सुप्रीम कोर्ट टुक नोटिस ऑफ इट. यहां पे अब बात हो रही है कि जो मेन प्रॉब्लम है वो कंसेंट को लेकर होती है. लोगों को समझ नहीं आता, वो फॉर्म साइन करते हैं. तो यहां पे दो सजेशंस आई हैं, फिल्म द कंसेंट और उससे भी बढ़कर आई है वाइडर कम्युनिटी पार्टिसिपेशन. आपने क्या अपने एक्सपीरियंस में पाया कि इससे क्या चीजें बेहतर हो सकती हैं?
मैं आपको बताना चाहूंगा कि मैं खुद एक डॉक्टर हूं. मेरे सामने मैंने देखा कि किस तरीके से अनएथिकल वे में ट्रायल्स चल रहे थे. यहाँ दो सेक्टर हैं, एक प्राइवेट सेक्टर है जो ट्रायल्स करते हैं और मुझे लगता है कि वो कंप्लीटली फेयर वे में ट्रायल्स कर रहे हैं, लेकिन जो गवर्नमेंट हॉस्पिटल्स हैं वहां पर जो लोग आ रहे हैं वो बहुत पुअर होते हैं. दलित्स और आदिवासियों पर ट्रायल हुए हैं इंदौर में, 3300 लोगों पर ट्रायल हुए हैं, 81 लोगों पर सीरियस एडवर्स इवेंट हुआ और एक भी कंपेंसेट नहीं हुआ उसमें से, और आउट ऑफ 81 लाइक 80% आर दलित्स.
So, आप कह रहे हैं कि जो प्राइवेट सेक्टर है उसमें ठीक ठाक होता है, लेकिन सरकारी अस्पताल जहां पर लोगों को नहीं समझ आती, द मार्जिनलाइज जो जाते हैं.
वी कैनॉट हार्म द मेडिकल इंडस्ट्री जस्ट बिकॉज आर लॉ एंड ऑर्डर इज फॉल्टी. वी कैनॉट स्टॉप न्यू डेवलपमेंट ऑफ ड्रग्स एंड ऑल दैट जस्ट बिकॉज वी आर पुअर इनफ to not implement our laws properly.
But do you agree that sometimes the uneducated or the poor are more likely to be vulnerable in the non-implementation of the guidelines? Would you agree with that?
Well, I haven't come across any, but if somebody has, yes, I just heard him.
Yes.
And it's really a sorry scene there.
I'd like
there.
To make
a comment. Yes. Anjali?
Yeah, I think the important thing is, you know, the adverse event following immunization. And, you know, I just want to defer with you. In organizations that do clinical trials, we report all adverse events, each and every. But then there are some which are obviously not related to the drug. So, for example, in that HIV vaccine trial, there was one trial participant who fractured his leg. So that's obviously not related to the vaccine.
Yeah. Yes.
But there could be some unexplained which have to be investigated. And I think here it is, there is a concern when you have an adverse event, it's really important to know whether it's because of the drug or vaccine or it's unrelated.
So
fever could also be unrelated.
Fair point. Let me take a break and let's come back with some constructive suggestions on the table. There are new guidelines being drafted. Do you need more than guidelines? Do you actually need a regulatory framework that has the mandate of law? How do you create transparency in consent? We're taking a break and taking your comments and questions in just a couple of minutes. What are the gaps that exist in our regulatory framework that we need to plug to ensure that when somebody undergoes a clinical trial, they are protected and are able to seek compensation and justice if something were to go wrong? Before we return to our panel, let's take some questions from the audience.
We have, you know, concluded from all this that the vulnerable population by and large in India, we know India is a poor country, we are uneducated. So can we have right from the beginning of a trial some kind of, you know, legal support more for them since they are uneducated?
Anand, would you make a change in the law?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a few suggestions. Quickly,
yeah.
I think the regulatory framework has to be strengthened, especially in the conduct of the trial.
Yeah.
I think we need to have proper consent procedures. I think doctors also need to know the law. A lot of time, doctors don't know the procedure. They also have to be informed.
So it has to go beyond guidelines, therefore. They can't guidelines.
And on compensation and how you get compensation, they have to be worked out.
All right, let's take another question here.
Yes. And why we are using a placebo in the presence of an existing standard treatment or therapy, especially in the people who are suffering, who are seriously ill people.
Let Dr. Menon take that, the use of placebos. Dr. Menon.
Yeah. Any organization which is wanting to conduct a trial can't start a trial on its own, whether it's placebo control, active control, open label, whatever. This has to be actually submitted initially to the regulators. It goes to the ethics committees. Ethics committees evaluate it, and only then would that trial be allowed to begin. I can give you, number of examples. If you look at carcinoma of the tongue, you know, cisplatin-based chemotherapy regimes are standardly used.
Yeah.
But if you are of a new agent, what you do is that in these patients, the two arms, one arm gets the active drug, the other arm gets the placebo, and then you try the new drug across, you know. So these are models which definitely help.
Okay.
So it's not that placebo-controlled trials are not the norm, but once it goes through the regulatory framework,
then,
it's approved by ethics committees. Then
okay, let's take another question here. Ma'am, you were telling me in the break your mother is suffering from Parkinson's, and you had a question.
I'd like my mother to also be a beneficiary of Parkinson's disease clinical trials. My mother's been suffering from that disease for the last 4 years. It's not easy to watch her totally disintegrate the way she is physically.
And do you worry? Do you worry about the risk, or are you willing to take it?
I am willing to take it. In fact, I have written to one of the clinical trials happening in the US to ask them, are they coming to India and can I volunteer my mother for clinical trials for Parkinson's disease? My point is, if there are gaps in the regulatory framework on clinical trials, fix them. But do not call or do not stop all clinical trials that are happening currently, because it's important to bring life-saving drugs into the country and give people like my mother a chance.
Dr. Malad, you know, there are both ends of the story here, that there are people who are saying, please, let there be a trial for this ailment. And there are people who are saying, we didn't know we were part of a trial. Where's the gap, Dr. Malad?
Yeah, I think there are several gaps. For example, to begin with, I think all our ethics committees need to be appropriately appointed and trained.
Yeah.
If they are not trained, they can't be on the ethics committee. The
second is
the investigators have to be trained. And that means we need to take the training right up to MBBS level.
It's
and
not
the,
just the guidelines,
the ethics
but
committee
laws
should also be accredited.
The because, ethics committee
because
exactly.
there are free-floating independent ethics committees that is giving, you know,
I think recently the ministry is working on this, but till now we didn't have any registration process for ethical committees. The first step is to register them and then have a process of accrediting them. Otherwise, as on today, as on till now, the ministry is kind of getting that enforced. But up until now, any five people could just sit down be an ethical committee.
So I'm going to ask all of you to make one
suggestion. But Balka, I just want to say
quickly,
that those of us who are talking for a stricter regulatory framework is not opposing science or clinical trials at all. This impression that, you know, 90% is very good, so what if 10% have died? No, every life is important.
Absolutely. No disagreement with that. Every life must count. And we're just going to hear from two more people. A 16-year-old girl who feels her life was transformed positively by a trial, and a 64-year-old man who again says he was part of a trial without his informed consent. Ramadhar Srivastav, aap ek electrician the. Aapke saath to ट्रेजेडी जो ओरिजिनल हुई वो यूनियन कार्बाइड की गैस लीक से हुई, जिससे आपको जो आपकी सेहत में प्रॉब्लम्स हैं आपको, तो आप भोपाल मेमोरियल हॉस्पिटल जाया करते थे. वहां पर आपने एकदम से पता लगाया कि आपके ऊपर एक दवाई का ट्रायल हो रहा है. आप बताइए क्या हुआ आपके साथ.
पहले तो मैं जैसे मारा हुआ था, फिर ये ट्रायल हो गया, तो दूसरा तो ये हो गया था, क्या करूं मैं. जब मेरे को मीडिया ने बताया तो मेरे को बहुत परेशानी हुई सर.
आपको मीडिया ने बताया कि आप ट्रायल के हिस्सा थे.
जी हाँ.
और आपकी मैंने प्रिस्क्रिप्शन देखी, उस पर एक कोड नंबर लिखा था. आपके साथ ही आपकी बेटी है. अच्छा, आप बताइए, क्योंकि आपके फादर कह रहे हैं उनको मीडिया से पता लगा कि वो एक ट्रायल के हिस्सा थे.
लास्ट 2008 के अंदर एक मीडिया से आए थे, तो उन्होंने आके हमारे घर पे बताया कि आपके फादर के ऊपर ट्रायल हुआ है. अच्छा, उस दिन से तो हम बड़े सरप्राइज हुए, और उस दिन के बाद फिर पापा आज भी बीमार हो जाते तो हॉस्पिटल जाना नहीं चाहते,
क्योंकि अब हॉस्पिटल जाने से डर
लगता है उनको. तो हमारा तो यही कहना था कि कम से कम एटलीस्ट आप थोड़ा सा बताए तो करते कि क्या कर रहे हैं आप. कुछ भी करेंगे तो कैसे मालूम चलेगा.
और आपने आरटीआई भी फाइल किया, और हॉस्पिटल ने कहा ये आरटीआई के एम्बिट में नहीं आता.
जी हाँ, हमने आरटीआई फाइल किया कि भैया आपने क्या क्या फेस यूज करा है, क्या करा है बताइए आप. तो उन्होंने हमें आंसर्स दे दिया कि हमारी एक कमेटी है और वो शायद सेंट्रल गवर्नमेंट ट्रांसफर हो रही है, तो हम आपके कोई भी क्वेश्चन का आंसर नहीं दे सकते.
अच्छा, इस ट्रायल का कोई साइड इफेक्ट हुआ इनकी सेहत पर.
लास्ट टाइम तो ये कि जब ज्यादा मतलब ट्रेवल नहीं कर पाते हैं, फ्रस्ट्रेशन ज्यादा रहते हैं, एटलीस्ट आप थोड़ी बात बोलेंगे, समझेंगे या ना समझेंगे, आंसर्स देने में प्रॉब्लम आती है, आप एटलीस्ट आप क्या कर सकते हैं?
तो इसमें अब आप क्या चाहेंगे, न्याय चाहेंगे, कॉम्पनसेशन चाहेंगे?
नहीं नहीं, मैं सबसे पहले तो जस्टिस चाहता हूँ कि कम से कम आप जब ट्रायल कर रहे हैं तो किसी को कंफर्म तो कर दें कि हम कर क्या रहे हैं।
तो आपको मीडिया से जानकारी पड़ी, लेकिन आप फिर भी आज आपको वही हॉस्पिटल वापस जाना पड़ता है ना भोपाल में?
हाँ, जाना पड़ता है, वो है यूनिट। हाँ। यूनिट से दवाई ले आता हूँ मैं। हाँ। एक महीने की वो दवाई खाता हूँ सिर्फ खाली, लेकिन हॉस्पिटल नहीं जाता हूँ ना हॉस्पिटल जाऊँ।
हॉस्पिटल जाने से आप डर लगते हैं?
बिल्कुल नहीं जाऊंगा कभी भी।
अनंत राय, क्योंकि आपने इनकी भी मदद की, यू बीन इन्वॉल्व्ड इन ऑल दीज केसेस इन मध्य प्रदेश, तो यहाँ पर दिस इज ऑल्सो समथिंग दैट सुप्रीम कोर्ट हैज इंटरवीन्ड इन मेनी ऑफ द ट्रायल्स दैट वर टेकिंग प्लेस ऑन विक्टिम्स ऑफ द गैस ट्रेजेडी। बट यहाँ पर दोबारा सवाल उठेगा कि हो सकता है ट्रायल्स के जरिए ही उन विक्टिम्स को कुछ मदद मिले।
देखिए, मैं आपको बताना चाहूंगा कि आप ट्रायल से ट्रीटमेंट को कंपेयर मत करिए। ट्रायल अलग चीज है, ट्रीटमेंट अलग चीज है। ये जो लोग हैं इनको गिनी पिग के रूप में यूज किया गया है, और वो जो लोग हैं सारे वल्नरेबल ग्रुप ऑफ सोसाइटी, खासकर मैं मध्य प्रदेश की यदि बात करूं तो वहां मोर देन 5000 लोगों पे ट्रायल हुए, सारे वल्नरेबल ग्रुप से हैं। और
सो वी कम बैक टू हाउ टू प्रोटेक्ट द वल्नरेबल व्हाइल स्टिल अलाउइंग साइंस टू प्रोसीड। आई हैव नम्रता हियर विद हर मदर, शी इज 16 एंड वाज सफरिंग फ्रॉम डायबिटीज। आप बताएं कि क्यों आपने ये फैसला लिया, और आपको समझ आई कि इसमें रिस्क भी हो सकते हैं, फिर भी आपने किया और आपको आपको काफी फायदा हुआ इससे?
यस, हमें सब कुछ बताया था कि स्टडी में हम मुझे बहुत से साइड इफेक्ट्स हो सकते हैं व्हाटएवर, तो हमें पूरा टाइम दिया गया था, फॉर्म दिया गया था हमें पढ़ने के लिए। उसके बाद आपकी मर्जी है कि आप स्टडी में रहना चाहते हैं या नहीं, और बीच में अगर इफ यू वांट कि आप बीच में छोड़ना चाहते हैं तो इट्स योर चॉइस।
ओके, एंड यू डिसाइडेड टू गो फॉर इट, डिड इट हेल्प यू?
या इट्स रियली हेल्प मी, एज मैं 40 इंसुलिन 40 यूनिट्स लेती थी और अब मैं सिर्फ मतलब 20 लेती हूँ उसमें, तो इट्स रियली इफेक्टिव फॉर मी एंड आई एम रियली हैप्पी दैट आई वाज अ पार्ट ऑफ दैट स्टडी।
So very differing perspectives here. Meera Shiva, one change that you would like to see in the plugging the gaps?
You know, the vulnerable people is the poor people. They used to be donating blood. They are the ones who sell their kidneys. They are the people, women who sell themselves for the family. Their last resource, their services.
Yes.
Services. So I think what are the kind of subjects being selected? This is something that has to be kept in mind, number one.
Who are the volunteers for trials? Okay.
And the separation of those who are needing treatment and trials are being conducted on them is one thing. Like sodium thiosulfate was the antidote for MIC, which the Bhopal gas victims did not get. So now the trials that are going on are not necessarily for their welfare. These are trials of certain drugs for somewhere else.
Okay, Anjali, on this point, lots of different points there, but on this point, to be more selective about who undergoes, who volunteers for trials, it's often the poor. Parallels drawn, for example, in the surrogacy debate here. How would you plug this gap?
See, there's a huge debate that goes on what's the right kind of compensation and when does compensation become inducement. So, I don't want to get into that. Clinical trials, as Kiran mentioned, is the last stage. You know, there is research and development in labs. There is toxicology study and you have to do clinical research for new developments. There is a clear reason why you go into clinical research.
So,
and you can't do on existing medicines. You have to do a new.
But this is an interesting phrase you use. At which stage does compensation become inducement? And Kiran Shaw, on this point on setting a compensation level, that is not an inducement, but a compensation level that, as Anand Grover says, should be more easily be claimed. You know, that's really what you're saying, Anand, right?
Before Kiran answers, I have a lot of respect for her points of view. Inducement is different from compensation because compensation will be given only if a person suffers injury.
Yes.
If I'm just going in for a clinical trial, if I get a lot of money for transport, that's inducement. So please
that's
don't
a fair distinction. That's a fair distinction. Inducement is what happens before the trial.
Right,
compensation is what happens if it goes wrong because of the trial. Kiran Shaw, where would you settle on the compensation debate that many here are saying it's not guaranteed enough if something were to go wrong in a trial?
I get the impression that people think that there are no regulations, there are no rules, that any old person is conducting trials. This is absolutely incorrect. I think we must understand that when we talk about informed consent, If it is done correctly, it is done in the vernacular language.
Yes.
You know, you're not just pulling people off the street.
Yeah.
You're not just there to exploit poor people and jab them with a drug which they don't know anything about. It's wrong. So there are enough checks and balances. At least all the trials that we have done, I know that we have done it with a huge amount of concerns and sensitivity to the patients who are being enrolled in the trial.
Okay, okay.
Now, when it comes to things going wrong, yes, there must be ways of making sure that whatever punitive action has to be taken against those, erring either investigators or whoever it is, it has to be done in that way. But it doesn't mean that everyone is doing trials the wrong way. Now, when it comes to compensation, I think this has to be understood and agreed up front, because whoever is enrolling for the trial must understand what they are entering into. And by the way, I want to make one strong correction. The understanding of placebo is completely wrong. When you do a placebo-controlled trial, it does not mean that you give one, a patient a drug and the other a placebo.
Yeah.
It is always added on top of standard of care.
Okay,
okay, so the standard of care is the placebo, and the add-on drug is normally the trial drug.
Okay, I have to start ending with Sujata.
Just 2 points. On the compensation issue, there's a little bit of a controversy on what is the methodology that is being applied for arriving at a compensation, which has, the socioeconomic background, the profession, the income, which then people, and particularly activists, have been saying that means a woman or a domestic housewife who doesn't get an income would get a very low compensation. So there is a problem of methodology, and that needs to be sorted out. But I would also like to say that when Mrs. Mazumdar is rightly saying that they could be going wrong, I admit that the guidelines are very good. We are talking about the exception cases when the guidelines are not being implemented. What is the law say on punishing those who have deliberately violated?
Yeah.
Nothing.
So you're saying
wrong.
The law does not offer punitive recourse? Let's take a question.
Ma'am, I would like to mention about the case in Madhya Pradesh. I mean, how can you let the accused go just by a fine of rupees 500? Is the cost of human life merely just 500 rupees? I mean,
5,000.
Whatever.
No, we are not saying
but,
that.
But this links to Sujata's point. Kiran, if you want to briefly come in there, because I have to start winding up, the point being made that the law doesn't offer punitive recourse.
Yes, so that is not what we are debating today.
Yes.
You have to take punitive measures on people who are unethically conducting clinical trials. By all means, please punitively take action.
All right, Suresh Menon.
For instance, you can cancel the doctor's license.
Compensation part, I think many of us would be aware that it is the industry which took the initiative to frame compensation guidelines through the ICMR. But nothing really happened from the government side. They didn't take it up.
So you would accept new guidelines?
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
Okay, question here?
Like, the key to all this thing is a right decision, by the public, So everybody should be, awareness program has to be created at this point of time.
We're going back and forth on whether the guidelines, therefore, are enough. Is it in the implementation or is it in the change of the guideline? Anand Grover.
Just take the issue of informed consent. People do not understand, and the courts have not given a clear ruling on what is informed consent. Only in medical treatment, the Supreme Court has said it means benefits, risks, and alternatives. In a clinical trial, the Supreme Court has not opined. So we need to put that up front.
Defined.
It's okay to say there are international guidelines which Kiran is talking about, but they are not applicable in law here.
So
if you violate it, it doesn't mean that you violated the rules.
Okay, Kiran, do you want to respond to that?
I want to just say that I think none of us here understand that actually if you do clinical trials properly with proper informed consent, that actually it is absolutely important for the investigator conducting the trial to make the patient understand what is involved. You've heard some of the people who have undergone clinical trials saying that they've completely understood
what
they were getting into.
Of course, but what about
that's
those
the
who
way
don't?
It's supposed to be done?
Okay,
now,
what
if you're trying to suggest
informed consent document?
Okay, sorry.
If you look at the
you accept the suggestions here. Let's go beyond the document.
No, but
the document clearly leaves gaps.
No, the document that we are talking about. I mean, if you look at an informed consent document, which is administered to an Indian patient, it is no different from what would be administered for the same trial either in the US or in West. Because all the nitty-gritties about the drug, the complications, the side effects,
but
the benefits,
but to Anand's point, that if you break the guidelines here, you can't be punished by law. Is that a problem?
But that is not for the industry to answer.
That's not for the industry.
Why should you not take responsibility? Whose problem
Anjali,
is it?
Anjali, do you want to come in there?
Yes. You know, there are very clearly laid out laws, acts, guidelines, call what you may, in countries like the UK. When I was doing a quick search on seeing which were the worst examples of unethical clinical trials, three of them happened in the UK. So I think what Kiran is saying is right. You need to have punitive measures assigned. And there are some. You know, we keep talking about these are guidelines. I mean, these are under the Drug and Cosmetics Act. So they are. They can have the punitive measures attached to it.
You're saying it's about enforcement. And it already exists on paper. Last question.
There's this notion that probably the country is saturated with clinical trials and there's rampant clinical trials happening in this country. I came across a stat. We have 1.6% market share of the clinical trials, whereas China has 8. So we have a long way to go. It's not that we're being abused or this is a hub now.
This is a good point. And Kiran, you wanted to come in there and then I really have to start ending. So quick last word here.
No, I just want to say that we are focusing on clinical trials, but don't we have law to take care of medical malpractice?
Good question. Sujata Rao, why can't existing laws take care of medical malpractice?
They don't because these clinical trials have to be governed by its own laws.
But Anjali says there is an act.
No, there is an act, the Drugs and Cosmetics Act. But as we've been discussing, there are a lot of inequities and insufficiencies.
Guidelines are there, Sujata, but
they're not adequate enough. It doesn't cover...
Okay, so we have no agreement on this. I'll give Anand the last word, but I'll take a question here.
Barka, I think the ball is clearly in the court of the Director General. He should take action, and whatever law we are talking about, the Drug and Cosmetic Act and rules, they are clearly found deficient by the Parliamentary Committee. Files are missing. They are understaffed.
So you're saying empower the drug controller, general of India. Yeah, Anand.
Actually, we don't even have 10% of the requirement in terms of the CDSO, the quality, the training. I think if you strengthen that, a lot of the problems would be solved. But there are inadequacies and lack of understanding, even in courts on issues like informed consent. Informed consent is not accepted by our courts except in treatment.
Okay, Kiran, one change you'd make. One change you would like to see to plug the gap.
You know, first and foremost, I just want to say we are not the only country doing clinical trials. We are the country doing the least number of clinical trials. I wish people would really understand what clinical trials are all about. Absolutely, we should be a country doing clinical trials with the best ethical standards. And I really believe that this whole process will get plugged with a lot more transparency and understanding. I think we need registration processes, accreditation processes, and certainly a lot more disclosure on what kind of trials are being done in the public domain.
All right. I think that's something that nobody would disagree with. Our future, our medical future, the lives of our children, our parents, ourselves, lie in the efficacy of clinical trials, but transparency is the buzzword, enforcement, implementation, and where there are gaps, strengthening and plugging those holes. Thank you very much. It's a complex subject. We're not the experts, though there are many experts here. We hope that they will sit across the table and reach some consensus amongst themselves. Thanks very much, everybody. Thank you.